Beautiful music. Thank you, gentlemen. Well, I normally stand behind a pulpit here nearly 50 times a year. So tonight I thought I would just sit down. And maybe we could engage in a little conversation. Might be one-sided, I suppose. But I'd like to just invite you to enter into some of my thoughts this Christmas season. And I want to share them with you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk together. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that through receiving Jesus Christ, we receive you. So we praise you as the giver and the gift, and we worship you tonight. Father, I pray that as just for the few moments that we have here together, as we set our hearts and minds on you, read a few verses, I pray that you would direct our thoughts, that you would be worshipped, that you would be believed, trusted in. So I pray that that you would work in our hearts and minds tonight, that we'd leave rejoicing because of who you are and because of all that you have done on our behalf. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, I never attended a Christmas Eve service. How many of you grew up attending Christmas Eve service? Oh, the majority of you. I never went to a Christmas Eve service growing up, ever. The first time I remember attending a Christmas Eve service was when I was on church staff at a church in Marysville, Michigan, the first church that we served at. That was the first time I'd ever been to a Christmas Eve service. Now, the funny thing about that is I never attended a Christmas Eve service growing up, ever. And the funny thing about that is my dad was a pastor. He was a preacher. We must have been more radically Protestant than I knew. So it just wasn't a part of our tradition. It wasn't a part of our practice. On Christmas Eve, we were just home as a family. And we really didn't have much of a Christmas Eve tradition. We were just home. I suppose we wrapped gifts and went to bed early, I suppose. But what we did have as a tradition is on Christmas morning, of course, we would get up. I was the youngest of five kids, mom and dad. And Christmas morning, we would get up and have breakfast, get dressed, and then we'd all come back out to the living room. And of course, the Christmas tree was there, and gifts were all under the tree. And but the tradition is, my dad would grab the Bible, and he would read with us the Christmas account, the Christmas history out of the Scripture. And of course, the Christmas account is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, first two chapters of Matthew, first two chapters of Luke. And so he would read either out of Luke, or he'd read out of Matthew, or he'd read out of both. And he would spend some time taking us through the Christmas account, through the Christmas story, and then he'd have a word of prayer with us. And then, of course, we'd get on to the real business of the morning. What, as a kid, I was most excited for. There were gifts there, and some of them had my name on it. And I'm all eager to bust into the gifts. And quite frankly, as a kid, I was certainly way more excited about getting into the gifts than sitting through another rendition of the Christmas story. Maybe just a bit of immaturity, but just as a reality, I was far more excited about opening gifts with the strange notion that what was under the tree would bring me far more pleasure and satisfaction than the story my dad is sharing. For as far back as I can remember, I don't know if what your memories of Christmas are like. That was certainly my memory of Christmas. Every year we read the Christmas story before we opened gifts and progressed through the day. But I can't remember, like I can't remember ever going to a Christmas Eve service, I can't remember a time when I didn't know the Christmas story. So as my memories begin in my head, as far back as I can go, I can't remember not knowing the Christmas story, because it was shared every Christmas. And so, consequently, when the Christmas story was shared, that's probably why I was so familiar with it and so accustomed to it. I could quote you Luke chapter 2 like Linus does on the Charlie Brown Christmas special. It's just so familiar. But what I failed to realize back then when I was so little is that the Christmas story, as it is recorded for us in the Scripture, the Christmas history, it is shot through with wonder and amazement and miracle. Every part of the story. It's just one miracle after another. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And of course, having heard it all my life, I was like, yeah. But now the story completely fascinates me, intrigues me, and it amazes me. And if you think through the Christmas story, if you just think through the characters of the Christmas story, if you think through the characters of the Christmas story, the characters range from God Almighty to Satan to angels to man, from educated philosophers to uneducated shepherds, from a single guy and a pregnant virgin, and from stars in the sky to sheep or cattle. I mean, the characters of the story run the whole gamut, from God to stars to sheep and mangers. And the story is just filled with one miracle after another. I'm not going to have you turn there. You could turn if you want, but I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1. Like I said, the Christmas account is recorded in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. Lots of verses, four chapters in total, but I want to look at just 12 verses. Very familiar, very well known. But in these 12 verses, we're going to... How's that? In these 12 verses, we're going to find at least three miracles that I want to set our minds on this evening. Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 26, I'm going to read just 12 verses. If you've got your Bible, you could follow along. If not, I'd just simply have you listen to this very familiar account. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Aunt Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's aunt, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel, Gabriel. Gabriel mentioned a lot. He's one of the few angels in the Bible that we know by name. And if you know the Christmas story, Gabriel had a busy December. He was very active. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. They're legally married, just haven't had a wedding yet. A descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary's about 13 to 15 years old hearing this. "I'm going to have a son, and he's going to be a king. His kingdom will never end, and he's going to be called the Son of the Most High." She's getting this news. Her question, verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to have been barren is now in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Your translation may say, "Nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said," Mary answered, and then the angel left her. All right, 12 very familiar verses, very well known. But let me set your heart and mind on three miracles that come out of this text. The first one, and probably the most significant one for me as I think this through, is according to this scripture, God is going to become a man.
Theologians have wrestled with that mystery for the last 2,000 years. It's a mystery. It is flat out a miracle. Almighty, omnipotent God, the God who spoke and brought the worlds and the universes into existence, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God is going to enter into the human race, entering into creation, going through a birth canal. God is going to become a man. There's nothing like this in all of history, before or since. It's just flat out a miracle, and it's a mystery. God is going, according to this angel announcement, God is going to become one of us. Amazing. A second miracle that just jumps out at me is the fact that there is a virgin that's going to give birth and remain a virgin. This doesn't grab us because we're so familiar with it. A pregnant virgin is an oxymoron. That doesn't make sense. It can't even happen. But we're so, the Virgin Mary, yeah. No, this is a virgin who is pregnant, who remains a virgin. That's like me saying, I'd like you to meet my sister Irene. And you say, hi Irene. Well, whose child is she holding? Oh, that's her child. Oh, who's the dad? She doesn't have a dad, or the baby doesn't have a dad. It's a God thing. Yeah. So, first two miracles. God, Almighty God, is going to become one of us. He's going to become a man, fully God, fully man, one body, one person, and he's going to enter into creation through a birth canal. Second miracle is he's going to be born of a virgin. And Mary, we know from the story, she's married, legally married, but she's not yet married. The third miracle is Mary believes what she's told. What a miracle. Angel comes to her and says, you're going to give birth to a son. Son's going to be great, called the Son of the Most High. He's going to rule over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And she's like, question. How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Good question. And the angel says, it's a Holy Spirit thing. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and what shall be born of you shall be conceived of God. And she goes, got it. Question answered. I'm good with that. May it be to me as you have said. And she believes it. Now, maybe even a greater miracle, because I think that's a huge miracle, all three of them. God's going to become a man. God's going to be born of a virgin, and the virgin believes. Probably even a greater miracle is that Joseph believes it. I won't take you there back to Matthew chapter 1, but Joseph obviously becomes aware that his legal wife, the wife he is betrothed to, is pregnant. And when he finds out that his wife is pregnant, he kind of knows how that works. He's got the basics down, and she's now pregnant. That means she has been immoral. She's been with another man, and he begins to strategize, I need to meet with some lawyers because this calls for a legal divorce. And because of their situation, that's what would have had to happen. And so he's thinking this through, and he's like, divorce is the option. Obviously, my wife has been unfaithful. And of course, as he's thinking on these things and planning this, an angel comes to him in a dream. He says, What Mary has said is true. She's conceived is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and what she gives birth to will be the Son of God. So don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary home as your wife and name the boy Jesus. And Joseph, he does it. He believes it. So as I think through this story, it's so familiar, so well known, but we just look at 12 verses and I think these are three huge significant miracles just in three verses. God becomes a man, a virgin gives birth, and Mary believes and Joseph believes. And then as I thought about that this last few weeks, I thought about a fourth miracle. And the miracle is this. If you believe this story, it's a flat-out miracle. If you believe this, it's a miracle. Mary and Joseph got their message from an angel. Where'd you get the message? Well, I can't remember. I've known this message since birth. I've been told it every year. I heard it from my parents, and I read it in the book, and tonight you're hearing it from a middle-aged, graying old man. You're not hearing it from an angel, right? You're hearing it from someone else. You're hearing it from me, or you read it in the book, or... But if you believe this, that's a flat-out miracle, folks. This is the most unbelievably true story you'll ever hear. And I back that up with a verse. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, belief. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Faith itself is a gift. Remarkable. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're listening to this story, and if you believe this to be true, God became one of us, and he came to this earth through a virgin birth. If you believe this, it's a miracle. God has been gracious to you and has given you faith to believe this to be true. Now, the flip side of that point is if you believe this, it's a miracle. If you don't believe it, you're condemned. We focused briefly and part of our message on Sunday morning at the most familiar verses in the Bible. And you could all quote it for me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Know that verse really well. It's a Christmas story. God gave us Jesus because he loved us to save us. He is our Savior, our rescuer. Those who trust in Jesus Christ are given forgiveness and eternal life. That's the story, right? That's the gospel. But here's how the verses go on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus. So how do you like that? If you believe this story, it's a miracle. If you don't believe it, you're in bad shape. You're condemned because you're a sinner, separated from God and lost. And so the message is, believe. Believe this message. As I think about that, I think along the lines of all we have to offer is Jesus Christ and God. Because if you're here tonight and you're struggling with unbelief, we have nothing to offer but Jesus and this story and God's message. Because the faith to believe isn't going to come from looking deep within and struggling hard to work up belief. Belief is a gift from God that he gives. And so the point is, if you believe this story, it's a miracle. If you don't believe it, you're condemned. So you better believe. And if you don't have faith, where are you going to go to get it? God, the giver, gives faith. You following me? And the good news is we've already said it, God is the giver and he is the gift. And you go to God and he gives. And you receive and he's the gift you receive. Boy, that's good news. So we have nothing else to offer you but Jesus Christ. The other thing I thought about is, it's not the amount of faith that matters. It's not the amount. It's not if you have little faith or big faith. It's the object of faith that matters. And so that's why we present to you Jesus. And that's why we tell you this is God's story. And that's why we point you to Him. The amazing good news is, Jesus said, all that turn to the Father will not turn away. So even those of you who might be struggling with unbelief, God is the source. So we turn to Him. No other place to turn. We present to you Jesus Christ. The other thing I'll close with, we read this Christmas story. It's shot through with miracle, miracle after miracle. Tonight we focused our attention on God becomes a man. He's born of a virgin. Mary and Joseph believe, and you and I are instructed to believe. But as John began the service, while it's all a miracle, it is also grounded in history. So to not believe would be foolish. There was a baby born. And when the shepherds came in from the hillside, they didn't come in and see a mist. Or they didn't come in and hear a story. They came in and they saw a baby. And they saw Joseph and Mary and baby, and the baby grew up and his name was Jesus. And it all happened on this planet not that long ago, well within the time of recorded history. So while the story is shot through with miracle from beginning to end, it is also just grounded in history and it's grounded in reality. Right? And so to believe it is not to believe in something blind faithish. It's to believe in reality. It really happened. And Jesus really came. And He was really born. And He's not just recorded in this book. He's recorded in secular history too. And so there's a real foundation for faith. And so I can say to you tonight, boy, if you're struggling with unbelief, you're going to find faith. God gives it. Read the scripture. Hearing the word of God produces faith. God gives faith. Go check out your history. You'll find out there's a foundation for belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came because God loved us and gave us a Savior. Well, we're going to sing a little more. Actually, I think Ed's going to come and share a special song with us. But let me just close this part in prayer, and then I want you to listen to the message of this next song. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We're amazed at this history, this account, this reality, that out of love for us, you sent us Jesus Christ to rescue us, to save us from Satan and from sin and from death, and to save us unto you. And you accomplished this in history. You accomplished this in time. And Christ became man, fully God, fully man. All this is just miracle and mystery and amazement and wonder. And we read it and we stand in awe of you and we stand in awe of your grace to us because even the ability to believe it comes from you. And so you are the giver and you are the gift and we praise you tonight. So I pray that as we continue tonight, both in song and in prayer, I pray that you would receive our worship. Father, I pray that you would help our often fickle and weak unbelief. Strengthen our faith, and may you be the object of our faith. And in it be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.